ओम अग्निमनंदस्य जना जना सलकाया चक्षुस्मृतञ्जन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति सपन्नः वंशकपजुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितरं पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. Today I thought we'd read from, instead of directly from the Bhagavatam, but rather from Prabhupada's summary study of the Bhagavatam, of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, the Krishna book. And then sometime later we'll read this chapter and the succeeding chapters verse by verse. So, practically speaking, the Bhagavatam has been leading up to this point, and this is very much the uniqueness of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that it describes in detail the most intimate dealings of Krishna with his most intimate beloved gopis, the most intimate devotees. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, ye tam mam papadyante tam stataiva bhajam yaham, that everyone acts in this world and Krishna reciprocates with everyone according to their deeds. If one wants to love Krishna in a specific way, then Krishna will reciprocate with that specific type of love. If one wants to avoid Krishna, Krishna will reciprocate perfectly and avoid that soul. Krishna gives us, on one level, the lead in our relationship with him. So basically, there are, with Krishna, if one wishes to have an intimate relationship with Krishna, or turn towards Krishna, be samukh, one wants to be in relationship with Krishna, one can have a relationship in shantaras, very passive, and just be fixed upon the opulence or beauty of the Supreme Lord and just be meditating upon him. But there's no active service. That's called shanta, or peaceful. This is very saintly. And those who come to Krishna consciousness through the path of knowledge will end up in this type of a relationship with Krishna. If they take the jnana marg, they end up with this type of passive, no active service, but just intense appreciation of the greatness or beauty of the Supreme Lord. And then, above that, is the desire for service. And that is called dasyaras. For one, it is not enough for that soul to just meditate upon Krishna, but he wants that meditation, that love that he has for Krishna, wants to express itself personally through an offering, through service. That is called dasyaras. And that is the basic principle of all the different rasas or relationships that one can have with Krishna, is service. But higher than service is sakyaras, or friendship. And that sakyaras has two different sections. The lower section is when one is aware of the majesty of the Supreme Lord. And he's a friend, but he's always in the mood of reverence. He does not lose that reverence. But above that is intimacy in friendship, in sakyaras, where one even forgets that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So it is because of the intimacy that is the standard of measurement by which we say this rasa is higher than that rasa and this rasa is higher than that rasa. It is due to intimacy, because intimacy means expanded love. It is more complete the more intimate. So above that sakyaras is vatsalyaras, and that is where one thinks of Krishna as one's own son, either from the point of view of the maternal rasa or fraternal, mother or father. This is such an incredible conception of the Supreme Lord, where the majesty of that Supreme Lord is so defeated by the sweetness of the love that the beloved mother or father is thinking, if I don't take care of Krishna, or if I don't feed Krishna, then what's going to happen to me? He's going to become skinny, he's going to die even. The vastness of that type of love is infinite. It's incredible. And that causes the Supreme Lord, again, yayatam mam prapadyante, to reciprocate in such a way that he acts as the perfect child, and he awakens continuously, ever fresh and ever new loving emotions from his mother. And then, still above that, is the rasa of the conjugal or Shringara rasa, where Krishna is one's beloved. And that also has two stages. One is in marriage with relationship, and that's called Swakya, and then there is Parakya, which means paramour love, and that is considered the topmost position. Because if one is married, one has the responsibility to maintain one's beloved. But with a paramour, there is no responsibility at all. It is just based on love. So this is considered the topmost of spiritual relationships, and it is reflected in the material world. Just like the topmost part of the tree, the topmost branch, when one looks at the reflection of the branch in the reservoir of water, of the tree in the reservoir of water, the topmost part of the actual tree appears at the bottom of the reflection. So it is not considered appropriate, that relationship, parakiras, or paramour, is not considered high in the material world, is considered actually low, even though nowadays everything goes on. But it is not considered appropriate. It is low in the material estimation. But this is the most sparkling and pure of all relationships on the spiritual level. So Krishna, up to this point in the Bhagavatam, we've heard from Sukadeva Goswami of Krishna's activities in so many of the different rasas. We've heard of him dealing with his friends, his cowherd boyfriends. We've heard of him dealing with his parents. We've got a little hint, not a little hint, there was a chapter dedicated to Krishna's when he took the clothing of the gopis while they were praying and doing their austerities in the cold month of Magh, when they were bathing in the Jamuna each morning and eating very skimpily. And the purpose of all their vows and their austerities was only one thing. They wanted to have a relationship with Krishna. That is all they wanted. And again, this is common. And all the residents of Vrindavan, one doesn't get to Vrindavan, this place where the intimate relationships with Krishna takes place, the most intimate relationships with Krishna, one cannot go there if one has any other desire other than the desire to please Krishna with great, great love, regardless of the different relationships that are available. Unless one has this desire, one cannot go to Vrindavan. And if one has that desire, yaya tamam prapadyante, Krishna reciprocates with that soul who intensely and only desires that. Tatra loyam api mula mekalam. This is the price for obtaining Vrindavan, is that one has to have that intense desire, and then Krishna has no way to reciprocate with that and other than bringing one to Vrindavan itself, awarding one with residence in Vrindavan and awarding one one's desired relationship with Krishna. Later on in the Bhagavatam it will describe, and also in purports by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Prabhupada will get into it in description, in the Krishna book very much. But in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment on some of the verses, he describes that these persons who desired and had actually attained the realm of Vrindavan and were able to reciprocate with Krishna in this Swakya Rasa or Parakya Rasa of conjugal love and paramour love, in their previous lives they had performed, many of them had performed incredible austerities. They were great sages, but this was their desire to be with Krishna. This was the topmost of their realization that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and we want to love Him and have a relationship with Him in a very specific way. So therefore Krishna, out of His mercy, He awarded them the particular births that allowed them to relate to Him in that way. So when we hear of these pastimes of Krishna, it is essential that we do not mistake this for material. And if the mind starts to wander to the material level, we have to at least understand that this has nothing, what is going on here, has nothing to do with the material platform whatsoever. Nothing at all to do with it. It is all on the spiritual platform. And just as the reflection appears to have much in common with reality, the real thing, the reflection of the tree, looks just like the real tree. If the water is still, you can really see this, that the reflection of the tree, in some senses, you can't even tell them apart. Of course, if you jump in the water, you'll immediately be able to understand that this is not actually reality, what I've seen. It is not the tree. But, so in fact, the reflection and the tree itself don't have much in common. The material energy carries the reflection of the spiritual world upon it. But in fact, there is nothing in common between the spiritual and the material worlds. It is a reflection only. There is nothing in fact in common. There is no substance to the material world. Everything is based in the material world on the opposite principle that the spiritual world is based on. Everything in the spiritual world is based on unadulterated, pure, the most pristine desire to please Krishna. And in the material world, everything is simply based on selfishness, self-centeredness, and therefore it is completely unsatisfying. And to get from the material world to the spiritual world, it takes the dissolving of the false ego, which means dissolving of the selfish attitude and a giving birth or manifesting the required detachment from the material world and manifesting the required loving relationship with Krishna. Then, when that is actually manifested, when we love Krishna, then there is no place for us in the material world, because this is not what we want. And then home is the spiritual world, and we will not be satisfied with anything but that, because that is what we want. This is the when love for Krishna has blossomed to that degree, we will not be satisfied with anything else, no matter where we wander in the material world. And even if we go to the spiritual world, until we attain our actual natural position, we will not be satisfied. This is part of the message of the Bhagavatamrita. So what the Bhagavatam is doing, it's presenting this Krishna Tattva in such a way that we become purified. And by the time we've reached this part of the Bhagavatam, this 10th canto, and especially this most intimate description of Krishna's dealing with his most beloved gopis, that by that time we understand quite well what the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is, and we have enough purity to not mistake this for the dealings of the material world. And in addition, if we are very fortunate, then we don't desire to try to enjoy the material world, but rather, if we are most fortunate, we have a burning desire to serve Krishna in the spiritual world, then these descriptions will act like magic, like water on a drying rose bush. It will cause that the rose of our relationship, or the lotus of our relationship with Krishna, to fully blossom. But that, of course, is if we are on the level of true and sincere and full true and sincere desire to serve and love Krishna in this way. But that is the goal, of course. So let's start reading and see how much we can read. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that the rasa dance took place on the full moon night of the Sarat season. From the statement of previous chapters, it appears that the festival of Govardhan Puja was performed just after the dark moon night of the month of Kartik, and thereafter the ceremony Bratrid Dvitya was performed. Then the wrath of Indra was exhibited in the shape of torrents of rain and hailstones. And Lord Krishna held up Govardhan Hill for 7 days, up until the 9th day of the moon. Thereafter, on the 10th day, the inhabitants of Vrindavan were talking amongst themselves about the wonderful activities of Krishna. That was 2 chapters ago, chapter 27, I believe. And then, and the next day, Ekadasi was observed by Nanda Maharaj. And on the next day, Dwadasi, Nanda Maharaj went to take bath in the Ganga and was arrested by the men of Varuna. And he was released by Lord Krishna. Then Nanda Maharaj, along with the cowherd men, was shown the spiritual sky. And that's what we read about yesterday. They bathed in the Brahma Vidha. And they had the full experience of Brahman, the ecstasy of Brahman. But Krishna pulled them out of that, because if one goes to Brahman, you cannot get out because you have no individuality. So Krishna pulled them out, gave them the experience of Vaikuntha. Why? Because the coward men, on one level, in their innocence, they wanted to experience these spiritual states, even though they were in the highest spiritual states, in their innocence and their naralila, thinking themselves ordinary persons, they wanted to experience liberation and service to Krishna on the Vaikuntha level. But actually, philosophically, what is seen is that nothing, no bliss, no happiness that they experienced either on the Brahman level or the Vaikuntha level could compare with Krishna, their relationship with Krishna, the ecstasy that came from that. And not only that, but when confronted with the ecstasy of Brahman and confronted with the still superior ecstasy of Vaikuntha and even Krishna Loka on the Vaikuntha level, still their love for Krishna could not be suppressed. And they looked at Krishna being prayed to by the personified Vedas. They looked at Krishna reciprocating with the personified Vedas and blessing them. And they were thinking, look at Krishna. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can't run to us right now and sit on our laps, and we can't take him on our laps and feed him. He doesn't even want any food. He's gone several hours without eating, and he can live in that way. But how could Mother Yasoda tolerate seeing Krishna without having eaten? She'd be in so much anxiety. So they were experiencing a Vaikuntha Krishna . Maybe that shouldn't be on there because it's about to explode, I think. Okay, got rid of it for a while, pulled out its plug. So even though they experienced all these things, it did not diminish even one atom their love for Krishna. This is the power of the love of the Brijbasis for Krishna. So that's ultimately what's seen. So based on that platform, that understanding of the pure nature of the love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna, now this chapter is being described where the gopis are going to dance with Krishna. Krishna is going to dance with the gopis. So in this way, the full moon night of the Sarat season came to an end. The full moon night of Ashwin is called Sharad Purnima. It appears from the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna had to wait another year for such a moon before enjoying the rasa dance with the gopis. At the age of 7, he lifted Govardhan Hill. Therefore, the rasa dance took place during his 8th year. From Vedic literature, it appears that when a theatrical actor dances amongst many dancing girls, the group dance is called a rasa dance. When Krishna saw the full moon night of the Sarat season, so Krishna was 8 years old at this time, he decorated himself with various seasonal flowers, especially the Malika flower, which are very fragrant. So it was a full moon night. And in that season, the moon is huge when it rises. And it rises very, very, very yellow, golden color. And during that time, in Vrindavan, it is neither cold, excessively cold, nor is it hot. The weather is perfect. And the moon was huge in the sky, glowing golden. And all the flowers in the Vrindavan forest were very, very, very fragrant. And especially the Malika flower, which is a jasmine flower. Krishna took these, all these seasonal flowers, because the different forests of Vrindavan, they blossom with different flowers and different seasons, because all and sometimes they blossom with all the different flowers of all the different seasons at once, because the Vrindavan forest is the stage for Krishna's dealings with his devotees, the Brijbasis, his intimate dealings. It is like a setting stage. And the Vrindavan's forests, the trees, the blooming and blossoming vines, their full desire. That's like ourselves. When one has a specific talent and ability, whether it's music, or artwork, or writing, or cooking, or whatever ability one has, or gardening. If one has a specific talent like that, to use, if one doesn't use it, it's completely frustrating. And on the other hand, if one can take it and present it to an audience, then it's very satisfying. But what's the satisfying part when the audience claps? So it is still, there is some imperfection and incompleteness, because one cannot feel satisfaction unless there's a unless everyone says, oh, how wonderful it was, the performance or whatever it is. But the full perfection of one's artistic or whatever talent one has is when one, and what causes one the greatest satisfaction, if one uses one's ability unmotivatedly just to please Krishna. And that is the mood of the Vrindavan forest. And again, that's the mood of every resident of Vrindavan. No other desire other than to take whatever it is they are. We can say whatever it is they have, but even better, we can say whatever it is they are and offer that with great devotion to Krishna. So therefore, the entire forest, the moon was perfect. It was the perfect setting for this, for the rasa dance, and the forest was blossoming. Very, very fragrant, and the breezes were blowing in a wonderful way. This was the offering of the Vrindavan forest to facilitate Krishna's. They were serving them. Everything's mood in Vrindavan is service. Again, no selfishness, just service. So Krishna decorated himself with various seasonal flowers, especially the Mallika flower, which are very fragrant. He remembered the gopis' prayers to the goddess Katyayani, when they prayed for Krishna to be their husband. This, they performed austerities just for the purpose of awakening their or facilitating their relationship with Krishna, because they were young and they loved Krishna. Krishna thought that the full night of the Sarat season was just suitable for a nice dance, so their desire to have Krishna as their husband would be then fulfilled. The words used in this connection in the Srimad Bhagavatam are Bhagavan Api. This means that although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has no desire that needs to be fulfilled, because he is always full of six opulences. Because when one acts in this world, why? What is the motivating? What impels one to act? It is always a lack. One is missing something. So therefore, because one is missing something, one has a desire. The desire to become satisfied, to gain that thing which is missing. Whether it's money or power or affection or this or that or this or that. But we don't, or we're hungry. When we're hungry, we're pushed to go out and buy something or cook something or walk here or walk there. Because there's a lack within us. But Krishna, by definition, is the absolute truth. He's Bhagavan. Bhagavan means he who possesses all fortune, all opulence, sad-aishwarya-purna, all wealth, all strength, all beauty, all fame, all knowledge, all renunciation. So he doesn't, he can't, it is not possible for him to have any lack. And yet, quite mysteriously, he acts. All his desires, his name, one of his names is Satya Sankalpa. All of his desires are immediately fulfilled. He has unlimitedly powerful shaktis or energies that immediately satisfy all his desires. Because he is the absolute truth. He's the Supreme Lord. And yet, so therefore Prabhupada is explaining here, he wanted to enjoy the company of the gopis, even though he had no desires to be fulfilled. His actions are not at all on the material platform. So the words Bhagavan Api signify that this is not like the ordinary dancing of young boys and young girls. So, of course, Prabhupada has to make this point again and again and again and again so that we don't mistake what is going on here. We don't see it through the coloring of our minds and think, oh, I know what's going on. So yet Krishna wanted to enjoy the company of the gopis. So what? This is very mysterious. No desires left unfilled. It's impossible. Yet he wanted to act in relationship with the gopis. What could possibly be motivating him then? It is not that which motivates us on our material level. What could be motivating Krishna? The specific word used in the Bhagavatam is yogamayam upashritaha, which means that this dancing with the gopis is on the platform of yogamaya, not mahamaya. The dancing of young boys and girls within the material world is in the kingdom of mahamaya, or the external energy. The rasa dance of Krishna with the gopis is on the platform of yogamaya. The difference between the platform of Yogamaya and Mahamaya is compared in the Chaitanya Charitamrita to be the difference between gold and iron. From the viewpoint of metallurgy, gold and iron are both metals, but the quality is completely different. Similarly, although the rasa dance and Lord Krishna's association with the gopis appears like the ordinary mixing of young boys and girls, the quality is completely different. It is true love. There is not a tinge of lust in it. The difference is appreciated by great Vaishnavas because they can understand the difference between love of Krishna and lust. Atma Indriya Priti and Krishna Indriya Priti. To satisfy Krishna's senses is called love, Dare Premanam. And to satisfy one's own senses is called Kam or lust, Tare Bali Kam. So this is the primary thing that we have to understand. And then if we can hear this in the proper way, then we will understand the most intimate exchanges between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. So Prabhupada continues. On the Mahamaya platform, dances take place on the basis of sense gratification. When Krishna called the gopis by sounding his flute, the gopis very hurriedly rushed towards the spot of the rasa dance with the transcendental desire of satisfying Krishna. And we'll hear in a few moments or another class will hear the mood in which the gopis wanted to satisfy Krishna. They were consumed by the desire to satisfy Krishna. They had no other thought. That desire was like a flame that was burning so brightly. Everything else had been long removed, burnt to ashes. Their only desire, and that desire burned so brightly, was to please Krishna. So the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, has explained that lust means sense gratification, and love also means sense gratification, but for Krishna. In other words, when activities are enacted on the platform of personal sense gratification, they are called material activities. But when they are enacted for the satisfaction of Krishna, then they are spiritual activities. And herein is the difference between a material activity and a spiritual activity. And it is subtle. Externally, one cannot tell the difference between a spiritual activity and a material activity. Externally, one may be sweeping the floor just thinking, oh, everyone's going to say how wonderfully I'm sweeping, or I'm making $22 an hour sweeping the floor, and then I'm going to spend it on this and that and this and that. Or one can be sweeping the floor in Krishna's temple trying to make it not a speck of dust or dirt in any form present, so that Krishna will be pleased and Krishna's devotees will be pleased. And actually have that desire burning in the heart, completely different activity, although superficially, externally, they appear to be exactly the same, sweeping, sweeping, sweeping. But it's the consciousness that differentiates a material activity from a spiritual activity. So Krishna consciousness is a perfection of consciousness. It's to convert the self-centered, selfish consciousness to a consciousness that's full of love, to convert the consciousness full of lust to a consciousness full of love. This is Krishna consciousness. And then whatever one does is perfect. It is wonderful because it is motivated by the full and sincere desire to serve Krishna, not trying to get something in return. And this consciousness, based on such a high quality of pure love, is extremely rare. But this is the process. This is what Krishna consciousness means. On any platform of activity, Prabhupada continues, the principle of sense gratification is there. But on the spiritual platform, sense gratification is for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His pleasure is the center. Material platform, I am the center. For example, on the material platform, when a servant serves a master, he is not trying to satisfy the senses of his master, but rather, he's trying to satisfy his own senses. The servant would not serve the master if the payment is stopped. That means that the servant engages himself in the service of the master just to satisfy his own senses. On the spiritual platform, the servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead serves Krishna without payment. And without payment means jnana kama anavrita. No desire for anything on the material level, and no even the cessation of difficulties. Because this, of course, is a very strong tendency, is that because no one likes to suffer. It is just natural. But the devotee has so much love for Krishna that his desire to please Krishna completely minimizes any experience of difficulties on the material level. This is the nature of love. And there are many stories of people in battle, fighting, and they're wounded, but for the love of their country, they don't mind. They can endure any type of pain for that type of love. What to speak of? And the pain is another form of pleasure. It's sort of an offering for them. This is how much I love you. This is my offering. I love you so much that these things are insignificant for me. I want to please you so much. I love you so much. This is love. This is pure devotion. In the material world, it's hard to find examples to show the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. But the mother's love for the child is like that. That is considered in the material world is the purest type of love, the most selfless type of love, because the mothers will do anything. Well, the mothers and fathers also, they'll do anything. For they'll undergo so much difficulties just for the pleasure of the child, so to give the child a good life. So in the spiritual world, and those difficulties aren't experienced as difficulties, because through their work and through their difficulties, they're experiencing their child. That's why on most big businessmen's big office desks, they always have a picture of their family members, because this is what's that's pushing them through all the anxieties and difficulties of their business. This is what is impelling them to act. It is love. So through the material world and how the material world acts or works, we can get a glimpse, although it is a glimpse from a great distance, but yet we can get a glimpse of what is going on in Goloka Vrindavan. Because studying the reflection, we can understand the true nature of the tree. So the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis, there is not the slightest thought or care for anything other than the pleasure of Krishna, regardless of how it appears. They're only thinking about pleasing Krishna. So as Prabhupada, concluding this paragraph, on the spiritual platform, the servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead serves Krishna without payment, and he continues his service in all conditions. Why? Because his love is so intense. Nothing can stop it from manifesting. Nothing in the material world can stop it from manifesting. So how unselfish and how pure it is. And therefore, again, as we've mentioned, the example that Narottama Das Thakur gives, it is like gold purified in 100 flames. And what does that mean? That you take the gold, you melt it, it becomes molten gold, and maybe some impurities rise to the top, and that's removed. And then it's solidified and then melted again. And then maybe a few other impurities come out and that's removed. And then it's solidified and melted again and again and again and again until every bit of impurity, and impurity means selfishness, because selfishness and love are in opposition to each other. So again and again and again, and this is the practice of sadhana bhakti, where we're trying to serve and we're confronted, and impurity rises to the surface, and we look in the mirror and see our selfishness, and it's appalling, and then try our best to remove it one way or another, and then we try again, and down to the deepest level of our consciousness, of the material consciousness, is the false ego level. All of this removed until the flame of love for Krishna burns full and true with us. This is until our desire to serve Krishna is us. And then that naturally manifests into a spiritual form, which is based on the particular way we want to serve Krishna. But all the rest, bit by bit, all the impurities, all the selfishness, it must go if we wish to be with Krishna, serving Him in Goloka Vrindavan. They do a very heavy security check before you board the flower aeroplane. You just cannot be there. The atmosphere is just too... It's spiritual. Just like oil and water. They just don't mix. Spirit and the selfishness born of matter, they just simply do not mix. We cannot go there. So on the spiritual platform, the servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead serves Krishna without payment. From the material point of view, that appears like exploitation. And he continues his service in all conditions. Material point of view, that appears like slavery. Which is just what das means, actually. Dasa. It means sold out completely to Krishna's service, but out of love. Service based on full and complete love. So this is wonderful. And Krishna, then how does he react when persons love him in that way? Is he just a transcendental dictator just trying to give people trouble? He's serving without payment and continuing, making them continue in all circumstances. Is he a terrible type of master like that? How does he reciprocate? And the answer is, he gives himself to his devotees. He reciprocates. How else could he reciprocate? They're giving themselves fully. And his reciprocation is he gives himself fully to them. But he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we, perhaps, are tiny, insignificant souls. And he yet gives himself completely to his devotees. That is the difference between Krishna consciousness and material consciousness. So we can't judge Krishna consciousness or the spiritual platform from the material platform. It makes no sense when we try to understand it, analyze it, because all we're seeing when we're viewing the spiritual platform from the material platform, all we're seeing is the material covering over our minds. How could I be a servant? How could I do this? How could I not get any compensation? How could I have to continue this? Because we're trying to view it. What would it be like if someone if we were serving someone, and they weren't giving any payment, and we had to serve in all conditions, day and night? We'd think it was terrible because we have material consciousness. But this is something completely different. completely different, completely, completely different. And this is the platform of loving service that the gopis of Vrindavan are on. And on that platform of the gopis giving themselves completely to Krishna, and Krishna giving himself completely to the devotees, and each, and a transcendental competition taking place over who's going to give themselves more completely and who's going to increase the other's loving ecstasy. On that platform, on this completely love-filled, spiritual, non-selfish platform, Krishna and the gopis will dance. So we have to some degree, we have to take our, or not to some degree, yes, to some degree, we have to take our material mind and just leave it outside. How can we do that? We should just listen carefully. But that's all we have in one sense. That's all we have to understand. We can't understand with a with something that we don't have, a spiritual mind. But gradually, by hearing, we'll develop spiritual consciousness that we can understand. And then the more we understand of what is going on here, the more attractive it becomes, and the less attractive the material world becomes. Because, again, as long as we're foolish, just like if you take a little, your pet bird, pet parrot, and put it in front of a mirror. Did you ever do that when you were a kid? What does the parrot do? And then whacks it. And then what he finds, this parrot has a lot of nerve, hits me back just as hard. So that is foolishness, to see something in the reflection as if it is the real thing. And the more we enter into the onto the spiritual level, by the mercy of the great devotees, then the more our attraction to the spiritual increases, and the more our detachment, or not aversion, but detachment, neutrally looking at the material world, the more that takes its place in our consciousness. Okay, we'll stop here. We read a few paragraphs. Questions or comments? Okay. So Krishna willing, let's continue some. Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ki jai, Sri Prabhupada, ki jai, Gopa.